Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting serious, diving into the world of endometriosis. We've got some info straight from the Health Service Navigator. They break down 10 key facts about endometriosis. And get this, 1 in 10 women of reproductive age are affected by this. That's got to be millions of people. So let's get right to it.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, having bad periods, which is a phrase we hear way too often. It's really about tissue similar to the lining of your uterus, but it grows outside of it.
Okay, so outside, that sounds painful. What does that actually mean for someone who has it?
Basically, even though it's in the wrong place, it still acts the way it's supposed to during your regular cycle. So it thickens, it breaks down, it leaves just like the lining inside your uterus. But the problem is it's outside, so it can't actually leave your body normally.
Ouch. So instead of a regular period, you're talking about internal bleeding.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. And that whole process leads to inflammation, a lot of pain, and these things called adhesions, which is basically scar tissue. So it's not just a simple period cramp.
Wow, it sounds a lot more serious than I think most people realize.
It is. And the fact that it takes an average of 7 to 8 years to be diagnosed is, that's unacceptable.
7 to 8 years. That's almost a decade of not knowing what's going on. Why does it take so long? I mean, with a condition that's so common, you'd think we'd have this figured out.
You would think so, right? I think one of the biggest problems is that the symptoms can be so varied, like they can mimic other conditions really easily.
So it's not always so obvious.
No, not at all. Painful periods are definitely one of the most common signs, but some women only have pain at other points in their cycle. And for others, it can even seem totally unrelated to their cycle, which is really confusing.
This is where it gets really interesting, but also complex, right? So what are some of the, like, less obvious signs that someone might have endometriosis?
Well, pain during or after sex can be a big red flag for some women. Others might have bowel problems, like they might have pain or diarrhea, constipation, especially around their period. And then there's the fatigue, bloating.
Yeah.
It can really impact a woman's whole life, you know, not just those few days a month.
Yeah, it's like this ripple effect on your well-being, not just a physical pain here or there.
Exactly. And that's why early diagnosis is so important. But speaking of diagnosis, that's another area where endometriosis can be tricky, you know? You'd think there'd be like a simple test for something this common.
Right, like a quick swab or something. Why isn't there something like that?
Oh, I wish it were that easy. Unfortunately, there's no single test that can say for sure, yep, you have endometriosis. It usually starts with you talking to your doctor about your symptoms, which I know can feel awkward.
Yeah, it's about advocating for yourself, even when it's uncomfortable. But okay, let's say you've talked to your doctor. What happens next? What do they do to figure out what's going on?
Usually, a pelvic exam is the next step. This helps them feel for any abnormalities, anything that seems out of place in the pelvic region.
Right, but these growths can be in lots of different places, right? What if they're too small to feel or kind of hidden?
You're absolutely right. That's where imaging comes in. Ultrasound, specifically transvaginal ultrasound, is often used. It gives doctors a way to actually see the reproductive organs.
So they can see if there's anything going on, like those ovarian cysts that are common with endometriosis, right?
Exactly. Ultrasound can give some clues, but it's not perfect. The gold standard for diagnosis is actually a laparoscopy.
Okay, break that down for me. What exactly is a laparoscopy?
So it's a minimally invasive surgery, which means it's done through a very small incision. Basically, the surgeon inserts a thin tube with a camera on the end, kind of like a telescope, into the abdomen.
So they can get a clear view of what's going on in there, actually see the growths.
Exactly. The camera gives them a direct view of the pelvic organs, so they can identify any endometrial-like tissue that's growing where it shouldn't be.
That's wild. Okay, before we talk about treatment options, which I definitely want to hear more about, let's go back to causes for a second. What are the leading theories about what actually causes endometriosis in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
It seems crazy that something so common is still kind of a mystery.
Right. It really is a medical enigma, but researchers are working on it. The most widely accepted theory is something called retrograde menstruation.
Oh, I've heard of that. That's where the menstrual blood flows backwards, right?
You got it. So instead of exiting the body like it's supposed to, some of the menstrual blood flows back up through the fallopian tubes and into the pelvic cavity.
Okay, and that's a problem because...
Well, because that retrograde blood contains endometrial cells, and those cells in a normal situation shouldn't be hanging out outside the uterus.
Ah, I see where you're going with this. So these misplaced cells, They basically decide to set up shop in other places and just keep growing and bleeding every cycle.
Exactly. They're like, hey, we're comfy here, even though they're not supposed to be.
Wow. Okay, so that's one theory. What are some of the other possible explanations that researchers are looking into?
Another theory revolves around something called coelomic metaplasia.
Coelomic. What now? That one sounds a little intense.
I know, right? It sounds complicated, but it's a really interesting concept. Basically, imagine cells in your pelvic cavity, just regular cells, suddenly deciding, hey, we want to be endometrial cells now.
Wait, really? So they're like switching sides. What could even cause that kind of a cellular identity crisis?
That's the million-dollar question. It could be a combination of things your genes, environmental factors, maybe even hormones play a role. Plus, there's your immune system to consider, too.
Right, because your immune system is supposed to be, like, your bodyguard against anything that's out of place.
Exactly. A healthy immune system would recognize those misplaced endometrial cells and be like, nope, you don't belong here, and get rid of them. But if the immune system isn't working at 100%, it might miss them.
And then those rogue cells are basically free to multiply and cause problems.
Exactly. They evade the immune system, set up camp, and that's when endometriosis can develop.
So we've got retrograde menstruation, coelomic metaplasia, the immune system potentially dropping the ball. What about genetics? I know family history is a big deal with a lot of conditions.
It definitely plays a role. If your mom, sister, or even aunt has endometriosis, your risk goes up significantly.
So it really seems like it's not just one thing. It's like a perfect storm of different factors that can lead to endometriosis, which makes sense given how complex it is.
You nailed it. It's likely multifactorial, which basically means there are multiple culprits involved.
Okay, so we've talked about how tricky it can be to diagnose.
Sure.
And now we've unpacked some of the potential causes. But what happens once someone actually knows they have endometriosis? What are their options? What can they do about it?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll dive into right after the break. Stay tuned.
And we're back, still unpacking this whole endometriosis thing. So we know it can be tricky to diagnose. We've talked about those potential causes. But the million-dollar question is, what happens next? Like, if you think you might have endometriosis, what can you actually do about it?
That's the big question, right? And the good news is, you do have options. The thing is, the best way to manage endometriosis is different for everyone. It really depends on the person, you know, their symptoms, their age, if they want to have kids someday. It's not one size fits all.
So no magic bullet, unfortunately.
I wish. But for some women, the main focus is just managing the pain. Over-the-counter pain relievers, the kind you'd use for cramps, can be helpful if the pain isn't too bad.
Those are like the go-to first step for a lot of people, right?
Exactly. But if those aren't enough, a doctor might suggest something stronger, or even hormonal therapy.
Which makes sense, since hormones are such a big part of this whole thing.
Absolutely. Hormonal therapy can help get those hormones under control, basically by regulating ovulation or even putting it on hold for a bit. The goal is to slow down or stop the growth of that endometrial tissue.
So it's like hitting the brakes on those rogue cells we were talking about.
Exactly. And there are a few ways to do that. Some medications are similar to birth control pills. Others target a specific hormone called progestin. And some even give the ovaries a break temporarily.
Whoa, a break for the ovaries. What does that even look like?
It can be really effective for managing tough symptoms. But of course, like any medical treatment, there are potential side effects. So it's really important to weigh the pros and cons with your doctor and figure out if it's right for you.
It's a big decision.
It is.
Now, we touched on laparoscopy earlier when we were talking about diagnosis, but it can also be used as a treatment, right?
That's right. Surgeons can actually use laparoscopy to remove or destroy those endometrial growths. And for many women, that's huge for pain relief. It can even improve their chances of getting pregnant if that's something they're hoping for.
Wow, so it's both a diagnostic tool and a treatment.
Exactly. But as advanced as medicine is, even surgery isn't a guaranteed cure for endometriosis. There's always a chance it could come back.
So it's often about managing it long term rather than a one and done kind of thing.
Unfortunately, yeah. And that's where lifestyle changes come in. Things like exercising regularly, managing stress, maybe through yoga or meditation, even making changes to your diet. They can all make a big difference.
It's like taking a more holistic approach, looking at the whole picture, not just treating the symptoms in isolation.
Exactly. And of course, let's not forget about the emotional and mental side of things. Living with a chronic condition like endometriosis can be really tough. Therapy or support groups can be incredibly helpful for a lot of people.
It's so important to remember that you're not alone in this. There are people who get it, who understand what you're going through. Now, before we wrap up, I want to address one last thing. There's this misconception out there that if you have endometriosis, you're infertile, and that pregnancy is some kind of magical cure. What's the truth about that?
Yeah, that's a big one to unpack. While endometriosis can sometimes make it harder to get pregnant, it absolutely does not mean you can't have children. Many, many women with endometriosis go on to have successful pregnancies, whether it happens naturally or with a little help from reproductive technology.
That's a really important message of hope for people to hear.
It really is. And just as important is understanding that pregnancy, even if it's a breeze, doesn't cure endometriosis. For some women, symptoms might disappear during pregnancy, but they often come back afterwards.
So it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Nope.
Wow. This has been such an eye-opening deep dive into the world of endometriosis. We've learned about the science, the symptoms, the treatments, the emotional impact. It's a lot. If there's one thing you want our listeners to take away from all of this, what would it be?
I think the most important thing is to remember that knowledge is power. The more you know about endometriosis, the more empowered you are to advocate for yourself, ask the right questions, and ultimately find the best path forward for you.
Beautifully said. And if something doesn't feel right, don't hesitate to get a second opinion. You deserve answers, and you deserve to be heard.
100%. Finding a healthcare provider who listens to you, who takes your concerns seriously, and is willing to work with you, that's everything.
This deep dive has given us all a lot to think about. Endometriosis is complex, and it affects everyone differently. But with awareness, understanding, and the right support, there's always hope. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of endometriosis. We'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.